Thank you very much.
The Shear is sponsored in honor of the Shear is sponsored by Larry Gross in honor of the engagement of his daughter Rebecca to Rob Coleman. Mazel tov, mazel tov. They should be zochah to see banim ubnei banim oskim b'Torah v'mitzvos. So when I sat down to prepare last night, a little bit of trepidation, Parshas Metzorah. How much are we going to find? But Baruch Hashem, we are able to find. I think also, you know, it's Erev Pesach, so the other good news is I figured out how to trick the machine. Basically, the problem was with the copy machine is that my copy paper in my house is much thicker than the copy paper in Yeshiva here. So now if I just photocopy it first onto the Yeshiva paper, now it's working. So Baruch Hashem, I have to always figure out how to outsmart the computer. That's the goal. One of the common denominators between the holiday of Pesach and Parshas Metzorah, certainly thinking a lot about pre-Pesach ideas, one of the common denominators, I believe, is this idea of the power of speech. Parshas Tazria and Metzorah highlight what happens to you if you misuse speech. I saw Rabbi Jonathan Sachs had a piece on why is it specifically when it comes to speech that the Torah goes like so crazy to like make literally, you know, these wounds and afflictions that happen in your body? I mean, one would think, right? Like when we were growing up, people used to say, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never harm me. That's the attitude we used to have. But apparently, Klal Yisrael, we're not like that. Klal Yisrael believes in the power of words. Words are what build, you know, words are human being, the power to daven, the power to learn Torah, the power to say nice things to people. Words are, we consider words to be a lot more serious than the rest of the world. And the whole idea, yeah.
I mean, where you say the most, we get married with Hareya Mekadesh, at least. So, and if you say it to anybody, you're married.
That's right, that's correct. That, yeah,
that
words.
Shows how powerful words
for
are.
Sure. Words have a tremendous amount of power. For the Jewish people, we're the people of the book, we're the people of the word, and you see in last week's Parsha, Tazria Metzorah, that when a person uses the words in the wrong way, that there's going to be a plague. And not only that, but Pesach also has a lot to do with words. The whole mitzvah of the night is to tell over the story with words. That's the main mitzvah of the night. We got it to Levincha B'yom HaLevor. Chazal say Pesach is Pesach. Pesach, it's a mouth that's speaking. And a lot of what happened, one of the midrashim that talks about why Klal Yisrael was saved is that specifically they didn't speak Lashon Hara about each other for all the years, even though they sunk to a low level, but they stuck together. They didn't gang up one on another the whole years. Then at the end you have the whole thing with Dasan, with Dasan and Avira and Moshe Rabbeinu. So there's talk about the power of speech that was broken down. The Hasidic Sfarim say, it says in the Haggadah, it says, V'hi sha'amda lavoseinu v'lanu. Hasidic Sfarim say, Shelo echad bilvad amad aleinu l'chaloseinu. Good morning, Joel.
Good morning.
So we think it's the nations of the world that are coming up against us to attack us. That's the topic of V'hi sha'amda. It's the nations of the world that are coming to attack us. So the Hasidic Sfarim say, Shelo echad bilvad amad aleinu l'chaloseinu. What destroys us is Shelo echad, the fact that we're not ba'achdos. Shelo echad bilvad. That's the only thing. Shelo echad bilvad amad aleinu l'chaloseinu. We think it's the nations of the world that attack us, but it's actually our own internal ability not to get along with each other. That's what the Hasidic Sfarim say. Cute play on the words. Shelo echad bilvad. The fact that we're Shalom Echad. But anyway, so these are some of the connections between Tazria and Metzorah, which certainly speak about the dangers and the ills of the power of speech, and Pesach. So let's jump right into it. V'huva el HaKohen. So the truth is, the first two pieces that I'm going to speak about seem to say opposite things, or stress opposite ideas. But we'll try to figure out a way that it's not opposite. So if you look, you got to look in the Chumash. So in the Chumash it says, Perek Yudalet, Pasuk Beis, right at the beginning of the parasha, Zost Tiyeh Toras HaMetzorah, B'yom Taharaso. So Parshas Metzorah pretty much picks up from the time the Mitzora is going to be healed. He's now Tahor. V'huva el ha-Kohen. He's brought to the Kohen. But the very next pasuk says, V'yotza ha-Kohen el michos la-machane. It's a contradiction. It's unbelievable. We read these sukkim 100 times. I never once picked this up. Rather, in the direct contradiction in the first two sukkim. It says, bring him to the Kohen. It says, the Kohen goes to him. Which is it? Do you bring him to the Kohen or bring the Kohen to him? Oh. Says the Ksav HaKabbalah, V'huva el ha-Kohen. Ein lefarish v'huva halichas ha-metzora la-kohen. So he says, you can't explain v'huva la-kohen means that the metzora will be brought to the kohen from the fact that the very next pasuk says, no, midamar achar zeh v'yotza ha-kohen al-muchos ha-machane. The kohen would go outside the camp where he was, where the metzora was. Mashma sha-metzora lo ba elav. Lachei nir lefarish v'huva kimo Sifru es Yisrael, count the Jewish people. Vahaviu elai, bring me the number. Shetamo, good morning, Gabi. Shetamo, havas devarim lodio hamispar. It means bring the count to me, bring the number to me. Kacha kan, vehuva havas devarim. Like Oratorsky told us, the Ksav HaKabbalah is a tremendous machadish. Tremendous machash. This is not at all the simple explanation of the pasuk. V'huva el ha-kohen means this piece of news that there is a mitzora ready to be purified. That piece of news should be brought to the kohen. Wow, that's a chiddush. So he says, havas dvarim lohudi el ha-kohen, tell the kohen. And you have to tell him right away, Shehisiga Mitzora Taharas Sarato Urfuaso, that the Mitzora finally achieved his state of purity. The plague stopped growing or it disappeared or whatever the symbol happened to be. It grew black hair instead of a yellow hair, whatever it is. V'igia ha'es l'hisasek b'dvarim anetzrachim l'gmar taharaso. And the time has come for the Kohen to get involved in doing the things to complete his Tahara process. Okay, that's point number one. But here's the Musar idea that we can get out of it. That's the next line. Uvala horos al charitzas hametzora umihiraso beishtadlus hasaras tumasame elav. This is coming to teach us on the importance of the Mitzora wasting no time in right away, as soon as the Saras leaves him, right away, he has to take the steps that are necessary to rejoin society and to move back into the camp. He can't wait. Once it happens, right away, v'huva la-kohen, you got to tell the Kohen right now, as soon as you know that those signs are gone, don't wait, don't waste any time. This poor guy has been sitting outside the machana for a while. He's in cherem. He's had no contact with people because of his sin. Now, as soon as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mekabel his tshuva, right away he's got to go rejoin society. We feel like this person who's been outside the machana. We got to try our hardest to bring him in and to set the process in motion as quickly as possible. The Jewish people, we don't want anybody outside of our ranks. If a person has to be outside of our ranks because of the actions that he's taken, as soon as he's done tshuva, as soon as he's ready to bring brought back in, you can't wait. You got to bring him back in. And we don't want to have suspicion about him. We accept his tshuva. We accept his tshuva. Hashem accepted his tshuva. If God accepted his tshuva, a great story about this. Maybe it's not such a great story. For me, it's a great story about my father, Irani Kaparis Mishkavo. So I was visiting every year in January. I go visit the yeshivas. So I go visit the yeshivas in Israel. I visit our students in Eretz Israel every year. And so I was visiting Gush. So I was visiting our students there. And this guy comes over to me. I didn't know him. Never met him before. His name is Yonatan Shai Friedman. He's one of the executive directors there at Gush. Maybe the fundraisers or camp or tech, I don't know exactly what he does there. He does something in administration. I think he's one of these guys, he like went to learn the yeshiva in Gush and like never left. he stayed there, he made aliyah, got married, has a family, still living in Goshen, he works for the yeshiva. So he came over to me, he says, you know, are you Rabbi Kamenetsky? He says, you know, when I was a kid, I went to Manhattan Day School, where your father was the principal, and I lived four blocks away from Manhattan Day. I grew up in Manhattan, I lived four blocks away, and I came late to school every single day. Every day, and I drove your father crazy. And I was like, you know, I was the leader of the league in detention, and your father was constantly trying to find another thing to try to give on me because he said, you live four blocks away from the school. You never once come on time to school. And in eighth grade, I was docked from X. I was docked from Y. I was docked from Z. They couldn't find every trip. I couldn't go on this. I couldn't go on that. Finally came time for the eighth grade trip. The eighth grade trip, the end of the year. And I knew, like, there's no way your father could let me go on the trip. But I went into your father's office. I begged him. I said, Rabbi Kamenetsky, I know I messed up. I never come on time to school. I'm never on time for davening. I'm never there. But I'm begging you, could you please let me go on the eighth grade trip? Please let me go. It's my eighth grade trip. I don't want to miss the trip. So your father says to me, we said at the beginning of the year, anyone, you know, who's on, like, probation, whatever, how could I can't. He says, Rabbi, I'll make you a deal. If you let me go on the eighth grade trip, I'm committing to you that after the trip, for the last 2 weeks of school, or 3 weeks, whatever it was, I will be on time to davening every single day. So your father looks at me and he says, Yonatan, if the Rabbonu Shel Olam accepts tshuva, how could I not accept tshuva? If you commit to me that you're going to come on time every day from the eighth grade trip till the end, I'll let you go on the eighth grade trip. The kachava, he says, I went on the eighth grade trip, and for the first time all year, for the next 2 weeks, every single day, I came on time to daven. But this just reminded me. The second says, if Hashem accepts tshuva, so if HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the tzara stop, that means it's time for us to re-accept this person to society. We can't hold it against him for the rest of his life that he spoke Lashon Hara. We'll see in a second all the different sins that tzaras would come from. The Gemara in Erechim lists seven sins. That gasas haruach, most of them all boil down to arrogance. Arrogance, gasas haruach. He talks about it even. Shvichas damim, we'll see in a minute what it comes to. But the message of Vehuva Lakoin, he says it's got to be done fast. Uvala Horas al Charitzis. Charitzis means alacrity. Thank you, nice word there. Alacrity right, exactly. Going quickly to get it done.
Zrizis,
yeah, correct. Umihiraso, his quickness, Bishtadlus Hasaras Masmelov. Vizeosh Kasabis Sifra. Right, it's not just that Klai Yisrael is accepting fast, but he's got to work fast. It's bad for him to be left out of the community. As soon as it's done, he's got to work hard to get back in. It says in the Sifra, Chazal say, don't wait. Oh, so he has a mucker in Chazal, beautiful. He often quotes the Bar Tanura. The Bar Tanura actually, he's well known for his commentary on the Mishnayos. But he also wrote a commentary on Chumash. V'huvar la'koin el makom karov chutz la'machane sheyuchal la'koin b'chavod uvali rav torach lechaz la'rosa. So similarly, the Bar Tanur writes, V'huvar la'koin means bring him to a place close outside the machane that'll be easy for the Kohen to get to him without too much bother. Which is a similar comment. Okay, let's continue. Now, the next piece sort of goes in the exact opposite direction. In the exact opposite. And it's also very strange. I never noticed this in the Tahara process of the coin. You got to look inside the Pasuk. So.
The Kohen's checking him, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So then how could he come to the Kohen?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So that's why it can't mean. Exactly. Right. Exactly. So let's take a look. So Joel, that's why it says, V'yotza coin. And the coin looks at him. It's taka true. He's healed. So then they got to go through this whole process. They got to take two birds and the branch of a cedar and also a small bush, a shni tolas, the ezov, that's from the small bush. Chazal say that he was arrogant, so he's got to lower himself. Betziva Kohen, v'shochar esatzipor echos, esatzipor achayachak osav, fine. That's Eitz Ha'erez, and they do this whole ritual, and they would spritz, v'hizah alam itaher minatzaraz, 7 times, v'tiaro v'shilach atzibor, v'chibes hamitaheres begadav, v'achar yavo alamachana. Oh, but wait a second. So we don't take him in right away. He comes back into the machane, but v'yashav michutz la'ahalo shivas yamim. So it sounds like in the tahara process, right away he comes back to the machane, but he has to still be outside his house for 7 days. And then on the 7th day, we complete it, and then he goes to the mikvah, and he shaves all the hair off his body. And then on the 8th day, okay, then finally he can come back in. So, on the words, v'yashav michutz la'alo, so it's interesting. Even though we want to rush him back into the process, but apparently he doesn't get to go all the way back in right away. He's got another 7-day process of reacclimating. So on this, the Ksava Gavol says, Amar Agra, he quotes from the Vilna Gaon. So this michutz la'alo can mean 2 things, and it means 2 different things. Amar Agra. Trey in Yanim Shamin and Michutz La'ahalo. The Gra says, 2 inyanim we hear from the words Michutz La'ahalo. Ha'echad Alo Mamish. So the Gra says, Alo means 2 things. Number one, he's Mamish, not allowed to go into his house. Sha'asa Lichnos Labeso El Yeshev Chutz Mimeno. He's got to live outside his house for 7 days. Vasheni Ahalo Zu Ishto. This means that he's not allowed to rejoin his wife in marital relations. Sha'af chutz lebeso, even outside his house, even in a hotel, aser b'tash mishamita. He's not allowed to have marital relations with his wife. 2 different things. V'lashon ha'mishnah b'negayim, menuda mibeso shivas yamim, v'aser b'tash mishamita, yorek v'yusha. The Mishnah sounds like the Gra, that he's menuda mibeso, and he's aser b'tash mishamita. So he's got to be out of the house, and even out of the house, he's got to not be together with his wife for these 7 days. Udelo kenira lechor mdivrei harav avadim bartenura, not like the bartenura writes, shapirish sham on that Mishnah, the bartenura writes, menuda mibeso le'inyin zeh, she'asim b'tash shamita. Del dvar v'yemashmos o rak ishta lo'a o mamish. He says the bartenura sounds like, no, he's allowed in the house. The Baitanur says he's allowed in the house, just he's not allowed to have marital relations with his wife. Alo just means the wife and not the house. That's the way the Baitanur understands it. Again, we know that one of the parallels is that someone who's an Avelos, meaning Avelos of Shiva, is also forbidden to, even though he's allowed to sit in his house, he's got to stay in his house, but he's forbidden to have Tashmi Shamita. Because again, maybe it's an aspect of simcha, and it's part of his simcha, or just part of his feeling whole and complete. So when a person is permitted to have tashmish shamita, that's part of his sense of serenity and completeness and wholeness and being part of his complete family in that sense, the intimacy. So that aspect, whatever it is, whether you say, and I'm not here to, The point is, I think the main point that I'd like to stress, unless you'd like to stress a different point, but the main point is that even while he's coming back, he comes back in stages. We're going to see in a second that the whole mitzvah would happen to him in stages, and when he comes back in stages too. He comes into the machane, but he can't yet fully rejoin. Either he can't fully go into the house, or he can't fully come back to his full state of simcha, his full state of shleimus, his full state of serenity. It's in stages because the sin, Chazal is going to say that, we're going to see in a second, right? There's a famous medrash that says that first the tzaras would come on his house, if he wouldn't do tshuva, it would come on his clothing, and if he wouldn't do tshuva, it would then come on him himself. So there were stages. If he didn't get the message, it was Hashem gave him stages. We see by Noach also, right? First the mabul came down, a little bit the rain, a little bit, then more and more. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us these signs that he wants us to try to take a sign from the small things. And if we don't get the message, then he brings bigger things. That's what Sarah seems to say. But the same thing is true when we're rejoining. The rejoining seems to be in stages too. First you go back into the community, then you go into the house, and Tasha Shamita, whatever it is. There seem to be stages because the point is that we're supposed to grow. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't expect us to go all the way back in one shot. There's stages. We have to learn. We get better. We got the message. We're going to be a little better. Then maybe we're going to spend a little time outside the house to think about getting you all better. I mean, the mashal that I'm holding in now is like also with the Avelos. Avelos is a similar kind of thing where, so on the Yom HaMisa Aninos, then you're like, you know, way out of it. Then you have Shiva where you join the community a little bit more. Then you have Shloshim. And you join, get back into community a little bit more. Then you have Yud Beis Chodesh. By me this year, I have is a double Adar. So I'm only saying Kaddish for another week, like about 10 days approximately. So 10 days left of Kaddish, and 40 days till the end of Avelos, and 70 days till the Yahrzeit. So that's complicated because this year there's 11, 12, and 13 months, because the Yahrzeit is actually 13 months because of the extra Adar. So it's Yud Zayin Nisan is the last day of Kaddish, Yud Zayin Sivan is the last day of Avelos, and Yud Zayin Iyar. I'm sorry, Yud Zayin Iyar is the last day of Avelos, and Yud Zayin Sivan is the Yahrzeit. So we have this idea by Mitzora also. We'll see in a minute. Mitzora is Chashuv Kemes. Chazal say Mitzora is one of those four people that are Chashuv Kemes. So we see that there's this stages. Just like there were stages of getting into the tzaras, there's stages of getting out of the tzaras. You go back in the machaneh, but you can't go into the house. Then 7 days later, you go into the house, you resume tashma shamita with your wife. So the point is that when you're going from a place of spiritual decline back to rejoin your place, it's in stages. You grow in stages, you develop. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us necessarily, when a person's a balavera, He doesn't expect it to just fix everything in one shot. You can come back in stages, right? Little by little.
Our criminal system goes to a halfway house and he's on probation.
Good. Beautiful. Gevaldik. Okay. Excellent. Same idea. Okay.
Lahavdil.
Right, Lahavdil. Now, yeah. Right. I'm not sure which works better. Exactly, right. Yeah, which one works better. Now, the Mitzora, in his purification process, would bring two karbanos, a chatas and an asham. Let's take a look. Page 329. Page Bapasak Yud. Uvayom Ashmini kach shnei kvasim tmimin. Two sheep. V'kavsa achas bashnasa tmima. Yud Beis. Vlakacha koinas a keves haechad vikrivosa l'asham v'shachas a keves b'mkom ha-sheishan as a chatas v'sa'ola ki kachatas ha-asham hu la'koi vlakacha midan ha-asham. That's asham mitzora, what you say every morning, right? Asham mitzora. Asham gzelos, asham me'ilos, asham shifcha harufa, asham mitzora, asham nazir. And there was also a chatas. So the question is, what's the difference between a carbon ashram and a carbon chatas? Right, you see in Pasuk Yud Tes, for instance, on page 330. V'asa kohen es ha-chatas, v'chibah ha-metam v'temasa, v'acha yitzchad es ha-ola. So there was an ola, chatas, ashram. So what's going on here? So here, the Ksav HaKabbalah has a comment, and it looks like he's giving his own comment, but at the end he tells you that he's just basically pretty much verbatim repeating a comment of the Ramban at the end of Vayikra on what's a carbon asham. What's the idea of a carbon asham? What does this word asham mean? Let's see. Says the Ksav HaKabbalah. So I quoted the Ramban also. I brought you down the Ramban because the Ramban expands on the same idea. Let's see. La asham. Shame asham mora al davar gadol asher. Now here's a girsa problem with the next word. Some say ha'osehu or ha'ansho, someone who does it, yischayv lios shamem, ne'evad bo. Asham, he says, comes from the word shimama, Shmama means desolation. That if you violate an Avera that you need to bring a Karban Asham for, you're supposed to feel completely desolate over this sin. And he's going to explain why. What's the desolation here? What's the difference between this and a Chatas? Let's see. Milashon ha'ashimam elokim vayeshmu na'os midbar v'chein te'esham shomron ki marsa b'elohad rebelled against its master. V'chein ashemim anachnu ne'en ashim, we're punished. We feel far away from Hashem. We feel desolate. V'hine ashim gzelos v'ashim shivcha charufa. Since carbon asham can also be brought on an avera b'mezid, yikar carbonosam asham. So we understand why if somebody does an avera b'mezid, it's called an asham. Chatas is generally on something you do by accident. Chatas, he's going to say, you're going to see the Ramah is going to say, chatas is more of an accident. It's more of like an error, a misstep, a misjudgment. It's something you did wrong. You missed the mark. Chatas, usually v'chata, it means you missed the mark. But asham, so if you do an avera b'mezid, that's much worse than a chatas. That's you should feel desolate. You should feel like you're really messed up badly. V'chein asham nazir. Wow. Aval asham me'ilos, that's an accident. Asham me'ilos, by definition, only by accident. Aval b'shu shogeg, even though an asham me'ilah is a shogeg, so you would say, why is it called an asham? Where's the desolation? I mean, you made a mistake. That's not, he's well known, because it has to do with kachim. It has to do with Beis HaMikdash. So by Beis HaMikdash, even an accident is a very, very bad thing. In Kedusha, if you're in Hashem's house and you make, you're talking about karbanos, and you violate stealing from Hashem, even by accident, that's an asham. That's what he says. Bavur shu b'kachim Hashem yikar kovet asham. If it's a very big sin, you should feel desolate. So what about Metzora? What was over Inyan HaMetzora, Bavur Sham Metzora Choshev Kemes? V'hine hu kvar shamein ba. So a Metzora, it's like you're dead. Metzora Chazal says Choshev Kemes. There's no bigger emptiness and desolation than someone who's dead. That's the definition. Yikar karbanu arishan asham sheyagin alav min ha'ashma. So the karban is called an asham that it should defend you from this death. It rehabilitates you from the state of death. It's in place of the desolation of death. Sheyagin alav min ha'ashma Asherhu shameimba. It's supposed to repent and redeem you or defend you. Yagin means to magain, to protect you from this desolation that you're in as a mitzora. So I recently went to a conference. Somebody spoke and talked about, I think this is, many people talk about this. So the Gemara says that there are four people that are considered like they're dead. Arba chashuvim kimes. Who are the four? Ani is chashuv kemes, somebody has no money. Mitzora is chashuv kemes, somebody who's has the mitzora. And someone without children, that the barren woman is chashuv kemes, right? I think one of the imahos says, right? Havali banim v'mayin mesa anochi, right? Because so Chazal say on that, Rashi quotes on that a person without children is like they're dead. And the fourth one is blind person, suma. So what's the common denominator? What's the common denominator between the four people that are chashuv kemes? I heard somebody speak recently, said I think a beautiful idea, that the most basic human instinct for us, we're living when we're able to help other people. That life is about what can I do to help somebody else? And these four people, their ability to help people has been severely constricted and limited, if not taken away. So a person doesn't have children, so the whole goal of the person is to be able to give. The whole goal of parents, the whole goal of a human being is that after he's gone, whatever he stood for should be able to be passed down to somebody else. the next generation. It's part of the basic need of somebody that when they're gone, they want that I made a difference in this world. So if they don't have kids, the mitzvah is michutz lamachane. They're alone. They're outside the community. So they can't contribute to the community. And an ani doesn't have what to give. Nothing to be able to help. You're always a taker. You're not giving of yourself. You're not making any contribution. And a blind person also, if you can't see another person, you don't know what they need. You're missing. In a certain sense, you can't help somebody because you don't know what somebody's missing. You can't see what they need. That's an interesting idea. That's why these four people, Chazal say Chashuv Kemes. And so here, the person being outside the machane, so it's considered like you're dead a little bit. It's considered like you're not functioning. You're outside the community. You're desolate, mamish desolation. So he says that's why the mitzvah has to bring an asham, because this being separate from Klal Yisrael, this by the separating yourself from the power of speech. Maybe go back to what we talked about before, that the sanctity of speech is what defines a human being, is what defines a Jew. That's why we're so much about talking. Klal Yisrael, we're all about speaking, about talking, about the world was created by Sar Ma'amaros. The whole creation of the world was with the power of speech. Kadosh Baruch Hu, the person, the way he talks, one of the themes of Tazria Mitzvah, one of the themes of Pesach, the way a person talks that elevates him, lifts him up, or brings him down. And the way we speak to our kids, each one of our four kids, you have to talk to them in a little bit of a different way if they know how to speak. I said over in the shir, some of you were in the Haggadah shir, I said over that Rabbi Bender in his Haggadah has a lot about chinuch. The whole, he calls it the chinuch. So he says, "Vayehav Yitzchak es Esav kitzayid befiv." I think he quoted, I forgot who he quoted from, I don't have it in front of me, but Rabbi Bender and I got it quoted from somebody else. Maybe you'll help me remind me who he said it from. He said that, what does it mean? He said he knew that Yitzchak liked to talk about hunting. To talk about Yitzchak, about varts from the parsha, wasn't going to go with Yitzchak. With that Yaakov, you could talk over like, you know, a Ktzais or a Nesivis or a Kiveger. That's what you can talk to Yaakov about. But Esav, it wouldn't have gone. So he wants to say pshat. Vayehav Yitzchak, had Yitzchak come to love Esav, Kitzayid Befiv, because he knew that in Esav's mouth, he liked to talk about hunting. That's what Esav did. So that's how he developed a relationship with him. He talked to him about hunting. If you know how to talk to each child, you can develop a connection with each child. Like, yeah, have Yitzchak as Esav, Kitzayid Befiv, because he was hunting in his mouth. He knew how to connect to him. So he talked to him about hunting. He says this by the Ben Russia. You have to know how to connect to each child. If that's what the kid wants to talk about hunting, so maybe if you talk to him about hunting, so he'll want to talk to you about what you want to talk about. That's the key to bring back the Ben Russia. I saw this week that the Gemara says in one place that you're not allowed to teach a Talmud she'eino hagan. We were having some challenges with some kids this week. We were thinking about this Gemara. You're not allowed to teach Torah to a Talmud she'eino hagan. But so the Mashgichim say, you got to take the Talmud she'eino hagan and make him a Talmud hagan. That's the goal of our generation. The kid's still 14. You can't say he's a Talmud she'eino hagan. He's 15. We got to take the Talmud she'eino hagan and try to make him a Talmud hagan. That's the goal. But anyway, the power of speech is very, very, very important. The way we talk to him. So the Mitzora, he abused the power of speech. He's like Shamem. He brings the carbon Asham, because Asham is from a language of Shemama. He's desolate. He's like, he's dead. He's outside the machne. If you don't understand how to use your mouth, you're outside the machne. You're desolate. You're mamish. You have to bring a carbon Asham. Oh. So the Ramban. Okay, you can do the Ramban for homework. It's pretty much the same idea, but he goes into a lot more depth. Here's where he talks about, right, and there he didn't talk about chatos, but the Ramban talks about chatos. If you look at just to show you one line of it, so you could see over Shabbos, long Shabbos afternoon. Look at the second line. Volonis barer matam yeshema komanechad chatos yeshema komanechad asham. What's the difference? Ramban's asking. Why is one chatos and one asham? So that's what that's v'chulan yavo al chetz. That's what he goes on to talk about. And you see that the Ksav HaKabbal was pretty much word for word. Oh, so he has a lot more also. Right, he even talks about an Ashim Taloi. Now, what's Pshat Ashim Taloi? By definition, you're not sure whether you did the Avera. So how could you call that desolation? What's the desolation? You don't even know you did the Avera. So he talks about that as well. V'tam Ashim Taloi. He says it's worse. V'pnei Shabal of Savar She'en Alav Onesh. Ki Lo No Da HaChet. V'pnei Zeh Hichmer Alav Kas B'Sveiko Yosim V'Vado. He says, the mere fact that you're not sure whether you did a sin or not, so you're not going to do so much tshuva because, man, maybe I didn't even do anything wrong. So that's why you need even more. You need an Ashim Tali. So he talks about it. Okay. Last piece that we'll do together. Well, first I want to just mention the Gemara there. If you could skip to the middle of page 3. The Gemara in Erchin. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Al Shiva Dvarim Negarim Barin. So Tzaras would come for 7 things, the Gemara says. Al Lashon Hara, that's the most famous. Shvichas Damim, killing. Shvuas Shav, another type of bad speech, swearing falsely. Gili Arayos, Gasas Aruach, that's arrogance. Gezel, stealing. Tzaras Oyin, that's stinginess. People who don't like to help people with their money. Tzaras Oyin, stinginess. So those are the 7 things. Probably the root of most all of them is arrogance. I always say the root of all averus is pretty much arrogance. The root of all bad midos is arrogance. But let's look at the so I have to choose what the last thing is. So many good things here, but okay, Baruch Hashem. So let's go back to the bottom of page 2. Pasa hanega. Now here's a problem. Another problem. So in Yudalad Mem Dalad, we're talking about Tzaras HaBayis, the Tzaras on the house. Now the problem is, look at Mem Gimel on the top of 332. So what happened? He already commanded to remove the stones that had the Tzaras. So now they bring other stones on the top of Pasuk Mem Bayis, V'lachovan HaMacheros, and he replaces the old stones with the new stones. Now, Im Yoshuv Anega, if it comes back, it's spread in the house. So then you knock down the whole house. Now he's upset about the language of spread because it doesn't have to be bigger, even if it came back exactly the same amount as it happened before. So it's not spreading. So what's going on? This is similar to last week. He talked also about spreading, pasa. So basically his word is that Pasa does not have to mean spread. The mere fact that you continued a state from before, that's also called it spread because you got rid of all the stones. Now it came back, so that's called spreading as well. He has all these rayas. Take a look from the 5th line. Venerali, ki kol lashon pisayon, that's spreading, hu tosefes v'riba adav machmas atzmo, she tofes achshav merchak mikom yosim imashay yotofes kodem, she esrabe. It extended. Extending is also called spread, even if it's the same amount. He goes on and on talking about the same thing. And at the end, he says, look at the very last line. Zeo anira b'inyan ha-parsha ha-zos, kidei shiyu divrei chachamim kayamim, v'hu davar noyo miskabim. So he gives this whole language to reinterpret the word pasa, not to mean spread in a larger space. It could even come back in a smaller way than it was before. But if it came back on the same stones that it was before, you got to knock down the whole house. Even if it actually didn't spread in the sense of being a larger thing, it spread in the sense of, well, you brought new rocks, which didn't have it, and now it came back to the same rocks. Even if it was a smaller nega than it was before, it didn't spread technically that it was larger, but it spread in the sense of that it was on the house, you knocked down the house, it came back. Coming back is also called spread. So he says, we have to do whatever we can to defend Chazal. That again, this is Ksav HaKabbalah. The whole point of his book was that the Torah Shebaal Peh is in the Torah Shebaksav. Ksav HaKabbalah. What's in the Ksav includes the Kabbalah. The Kabbalah and the Ksav is, when he says Kabbalah, he doesn't mean Kabbalah in the Kabbalistic. Kabbalah means Torah Shebaal Peh. Kabbalah means that we've received from
Har Sinai. Okay, so on the next one, v'chiper l'abayis, niral ishu k'mo ishu beis o bo, we're talking about anshei beis v'chabik, b'shvil kamo gufi averis, and the goyim boim, k'be'erichin, a lot of things. Amu sham mitchila, and the goyim boim beis o. First it comes to the house. V'meinu chozer, if you don't do tshuva, boim al begodav, it comes on your garment. V'meinu chozer, you don't do tshuva, boim al gufo, it comes on your body. L'kach omar v'chiper l'abayis. Right. If it went away, so that you got the kapara already from the house. So if you did shuva, if you did shuva when it came on the house, so you got the kapara right away. You don't need the other stuff to come. And the last piece, oh, beautiful. V'yadav lo shatav amayim. This is gevaldik. Oh. You know, I'm telling you, I sat down to prepare the shiur, and like, oh, it's Tazria Mitzora. Like, how much musa are we going to find in Tazria Mitzora in the minutia of Tumah V'Tahara? But there's worlds. Oh. Last piece, listen to this. You're going to love this. In the 2 minutes I have to say, I'm not going to be able to do it justice. But it's interesting. Take a look. Tesvav Yud Aleph. What does it say? It says, okay, we're talking about a Zav. Whole other story. Go to the mikvah. Now, Yud Aleph. Anything that the Zav didn't touch, and he didn't wash his hands, so it's Tameh. Any person who touches the Zav and didn't go to the mikvah, he's Tameh. Now, the way the Pasuk describes didn't go to the mikvah, it says, he didn't wash his hands. He didn't wash his hands? No, not he didn't wash his hands. He didn't wash his whole body in the mikvah. Why is the Torah referring to his whole body as washing his hands? It's not washing your hands. It's washing your whole body. Says the Ksav HaKabbalah, well, sometimes the Torah could refer to your whole body as your hands. What? What's going on here? Look what he says. L'Rabbah Seinu B'Torah Skonim over Talmud, Pirish Mamrazeh Ba'ochlo Tavon Mitumaso. Vahotzi Akosav Tfilas Gufo Shelzav Balachin Shtifas Yadayim. The Torah is referring here to the entire dipping of the whole body as washing your hands. Lalamed Shein Besas Tarim Ton Bias Maim Ela Eva Goli Kama Yadayim. Avalo Pnimus Aaf. And the Kamatin. Vyesh Lakarav Datam Atevas Vyodav Atmo Kimatsanush Nikra Balchai Bishem Eva Prati Shabo. We found that a Baal Chai could be called by one of his limbs. Kamo, lo sisher parsa. Parsa is the hoof. There won't be one hoof left in Egypt. It means there won't be a horse left in Egypt. It's calling the whole horse by the hoof. Shehu shem al kol ha-behema. V'chein guf ha-adam nikra al shem ever ha-yad shebo. Says the Ksav HaKabbalah, the whole body is referred to by the hand. Kamo, kechachmas elohach di biyadach. Chayes Yodach Matzasa. Uve'emes, look at what it says so beautifully. Hanefesh im aguf, hu kikli im hayad shebo. Wow. He says, the soul, as compared to the body is a handle on the soul. Yad means handle. See the word hand in the word handle? Right? A yad of a kli, the handle of a kli. It's called that way because you have your hand, you use your hand. The whole, that's why it's called a handle. So he says, "Uve'emes hanefesh emaguf hu kekli emayad shebo." Afshe ikaratasha shua kliatzmo. Even though the major part of us is our soul, not our body, v'hayad eino ela ketafel elelach. So, the body is the handle of the soul, because the body is that which we use to get something out of the soul. Even though the soul is the most important thing, mikol makom. If not for the hand, the handle, ein toels bekli levado. We couldn't get anything out of our soul if we didn't have a body. Once we die and there's no more any body, the soul is useless. You can't grow anymore. You can't develop anymore. Kirach b'emtzoyes hayad nuchal l'shtamish bekli. Kocha hanefesh shehu ha'ikar ba'adam b'komakom balade aguf, if not for the body, kimat she'ein toels b'chol kogus ha'nefesh levado. It's almost like you can't really use any of the powers of your soul without a body. kirak ve'emtzores haguf yuchal kochos ha'nefesh lotzis min ha'koach ha'lapol. It's only with the body, it's only when a person takes his body, sits down and learns Torah, he takes his body, comes, brings his body to shul and davens, he takes his body and he goes to do tomchei pesach and helps people out to go help the poor people or gives money. You got to make money. You got to go to work and make money so you have money to go give. If you didn't go to work, how are you going to do tzedakah? If you didn't make money, how are you going to give money to people to help them before Pesach? That's why the hand is called the whole body. Because the guf is the hand of the neshama. It's the handle, which is the hand of the neshama. So he wants to say, that's why the Torah refers to the whole body as yad. Because the body is a yad for the neshama. However, I didn't have time to develop it, but it's wild. Anyway, the main thing from this is that, of course, the ikar is our neshama. Even, unfortunately, those of us who are no longer in this world now, they benefit from the neshama. But the reason they benefit in the next world from the neshama is because of all the things they use their guf for in this world. So I'll say a Kaddish in memory of my father.